We're talking Wisconsin coffee roasters on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. There are all sorts of coffee happening around our state, and we're going to uncover small roasters from the Driftless region to Door County with your help along the way. But first, we need your help with our fall membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Keely Boltina. Good morning.
Hi, Kate.
So you rely on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like The Morning Show going strong.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So here we are. This hour, we have a goal of 15 gifts, and these hourly goals are so important. They help us stay on track financially so that we can keep the discussions going strong here in the Ideas Network. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. We do get funding from the federal government and from the state, and it really is voluntary listener contributions that make up, though, this largest source of funding for WPR programs.
Yep, biggest piece of the pie, and that means that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. So now that you know how important you are, make your gift right now on a Friday morning at WPR. Or 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important to you. And because of that, it's probably also important for you that everybody in the state has access to this kind of high-quality information and entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120. You're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. WPR is listener-supported, and that is why your participation is so important. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have an exciting drawing this drive. Pledge any amount and you could win two tickets to see Hamilton in Chicago. And that's not all. The lucky winner will also enjoy dinner out on the town before the show and an overnight stay. Like Hamilton, WPR programs engage and inspire you.
Oh my gosh, they're both so educational and smart and funny.
This is how you bring people together, and it always adds up to one exciting experience.
Donate for your chance to see Hamilton and support your source for the daily stimulation you just can't live without. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing and donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
Here's how. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Keely Boltina, and it's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this fall member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you end up choosing, that is the right amount.
We are busy people, and we know you value your time. We value it, too. That's why giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes, really straightforward. You have to tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Super quick, super easy to do. Your gift right now helps so much. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on each day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have 50 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 15 more people to join in. One of those is you. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or on the phone. Real people answering those calls, 888-202-2552.
Don't forget that added bonus for supporting the programs you love. You are getting into that drawing for tickets to Hamilton and the overnight stay in Chicago. No contribution necessary. All the details are at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, we love you. We need you. You are automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up those monthly payments from your bank account or credit card. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your gift is so important. WPR.org right now. And we thank you.
It's Wisconsin Weekend on the Morning Show, and we're following the aroma of roasted coffee beans. We're going to towns that are finding their vibe in the coffee scene. So what is your favorite place to grab a cup of joe? Are you into roasting your own beans? What does it take to bring out the flavor of the coffee? Join in on coffee at 800-642-1234. Kyle Cherik is a culinary historian. He's former host of the Emmy Award-winning television show Wisconsin Foodie on PBS stations. Kyle, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good morning. Thank you.
So earlier we heard you say that Milwaukee shouldn't have as good of coffee scene as it does compared to other cities. Those are fighting words, man.
Well, I meant it in the sense that, and this is true about Milwaukee in many senses, that when you take the per capita incomes or you take the population, Milwaukee shouldn't have as many sports teams as it has. It shouldn't have as many universities as it has. It shouldn't have as many arts groups as it has. And in the case of coffee, it shouldn't have as many great coffee roasters doing what they're doing for the number of people that live and move through there. So it continues on the anomaly trend all the way from professional sports teams down to the cup of coffee that many people have in the morning.
Well, let's drop some names here. What roasters do we have that really got their start in Milwaukee?
Sure. So probably Collectivo Coffee, formerly Altera, and then Stone Creek. Both of them started in 1993, which precedes the big names that people think of on the coast, like Blue Bottle and that ilk. They really didn't get into the game until the end of the 90s, early 2000s. So a lot of people think of Intelligentsia in Chicago. You know, that's, he essentially started in and around the time, or in and around with the guys, the Collectivo guys, learned a bit of the trade, got his interest, and then went off and started it. They're a much bigger brand nationally, mm-hmm. but they're an offshoot. And it's like anything. It works this way in cuisine, too, where somebody opens a restaurant, they're a formative chef, they really have a great cooking style. People gravitate towards that kitchen. Then they start finding their own voice. They want to do their own thing. And before you know it, they've got a restaurant down the street. And that's how we end up having great food in the world. It works the same way with coffee. It works the same way with wine. It works the same way with chocolate. It works the same way.
But if you do branch out and open up new locations in other cities around the state, you know, replicating what you are doing at that mothership store, isn't that difficult?
Well, nobody ever wants to replicate, and that's the amazingly beautiful. It's a great question, Kate, first of all. No one ever wants to replicate, nor could they, because coffee beans, they're really a cherry, and it's really a seed. These are living organic things. So the sourcing is incredibly important. But even if you had two coffee roasters getting their beans from the same grower, let's say in Guatemala, it would be a different batch because one would grow on this side of the valley and the other one would grow on the other side of the valley and slightly down. Just as grapes with wine, that's really the best analogy that we can use. And then in the hands of the roaster, just as the wine changes at the hands of the vintner, the flavors will change as well. Beans are roasted at about 550 degrees in there. And it isn't until 400 degrees when the bean starts to change from green to brown and the caffeination comes out. But with that process comes out all these wonderful flavors. So does it have a vegetable aspect? Does it have a floral aspect? Does it have a fruit aspect? Does it have a chocolate aspect? You know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really in the hands of the roaster that has the feel and the knowledge, and the intuition and a sense of what they want from the beans. And just as if you make lasagna and I make lasagna from the same recipe, they're going to be slightly different. It's just how it is. It's, you know, that's continuing with these culinary analogies. It'll be the same thing with roasting beans.
Well, we heard from Jim in Watertown who couldn't stay with us, but Jim is a fan of Barris Brothers in Watertown. And Jim mm-hmm. says they have classes teaching everything from roasting to the different kinds of coffee to different ways of drinking coffee. So a lot of education going on at Barris Brothers.
I know of Barris Brothers, but I haven't actually been there, but I've had their coffee at other events. And they are a poster child in a good way of the depth of coffee offerings and how interested people have become. There's so many different ways, and Jim makes another great point, the way that then you essentially present the coffee, or the way that you make it, whether it's a pour over or a French press or an aeration method or a cold brew, that changes the flavors as well. So it's really this, I mean, there's about 10 steps from seed to cup. And then when you get to that cup step, there's about 6 more in which you can vary it. The good news for me as a culinarian is that people are really opening up to all these different flavors. At something like 30 or 40 years ago in America's history, there was Folgers and Sanka and the drive-thru at McDonald's and a few others like that. But that was about all you could get for coffee. And there weren't a lot of different flavors going around.
Well, it's a whole new world. Kyle Cherik, who stays with us as we talk roasters and the coffee house scene around Wisconsin. Are you a coffee geek? Maybe you roast your own beans. What's your process like? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation. There's more Wisconsin Weekend ahead here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it's Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're exploring coffee culture in our state, going all over to sample different roasts and coffeehouse vibes. But first, let's visit our fall member drive and get up to date. I'm here with Keely Baltina. Good morning.
Good morning.
And it is listeners, and that means you, who provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have 40 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 14 people to join in. And we do want to say thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds all of the programs you enjoy.
And on those programs, in just 1 month, there are hundreds of discussions here on the Ideas Network.
Don't we know?
We know it so well. And you hear more than 100 on The Morning Show alone. When you support WPR with a donation, you're essentially making all of those conversations possible. Take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you've probably gotten an earful about becoming a sustainer this drive. When you make ongoing monthly contributions from your bank account or your credit card, here is a nice benefit. As a sustainer, you're automatically entered in member drive drawings.
This could be your lucky drive. We have a drawing for tickets to Hamilton. So start your ongoing monthly gifts today. You'll be entered into this drawing and all of the future ones when you become a sustainer. Do that at WPR.org or pick up the phone, 888-202-2552.
Travel with WPR by your side. With a sturdy natural cotton bag and a stainless steel tumbler, the WPR Travel Bundle has everything you need to get through the day, and it's the perfect way to show off your WPR pride. Today only, ask for your WPR Travel Bundle when you give $25 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Baltina, and it is your support during the fall member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Maybe you've already made a donation this year, or you are a sustaining member. Thank you so much for that. You can consider making an extra gift, say $50 or $100. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive, and thank you for that extra support for these programs that you enjoy.
And so here's where we stand. When 13 more people support WPR in the next, 40 minutes or so, we will meet our goal. WPR is listener powered, and that is why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Today is a special day. It is Friday, so Friday is always special. But also, you can take your WPR pride with you wherever you go. You can get the WPR Travel Bundle as your thank you gift. So it includes these two amazing thank you gifts. It's the WPR Tote and the WPR Travel Mug. It's
nice.
Very spiffy, Kate.
Yeah, nice.
It's available just today at that $25 a month level. That's $5 a month savings to get both of those thank you gifts. So give now. Support your favorite programs and ask for that bundle. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Laura and William from Madison say WPR offers national and state and local news that's delivered in measured, soothing voices. They must be talking about us. The stories and programs on NPR are so engrossing that I sit in my car to keep listening long after I've arrived at my destination. Thank you so much. We so appreciate it.
And
you can join.
We love driveway moments.
Oh, they're every day you can find one too. So join Laura and William. Give us a call at 888-202-2552. Your gift now is so important. Go to WPR.org.
We're into coffee this Wisconsin weekend, and for some people, the best cup of coffee is whatever is in their hand. But then there are those for whom coffee is less of an alarm clock, more of a delicate dance, a bit of poetry in motion on the tongue, if you will. So what city or town has a vibrant coffee scene? What's your favorite type of coffee? What kind of flavor notes do you prefer? We're at 800-642-1234, and food writer Kyle Cherik stays with us. So, Kyle, let's travel up to Door County here, and we've got Ephraim Coffee Lab. Is that how we pronounce it?
Ephraim Coffee Lab.
Okay.
That's right. So, and Isley Coffee. Yeah, those are the two big creative folks up there.
Creative people up there. And they're apparently, this is really a science-y lab with beakers and scales and filters. Can you tell us about this, what they're doing?
Well, Ryan Castellaz came out of the coffee scene in Milwaukee, and he wanted to take it to another level, really more molecular, and play with flavors with lots of other ingredients and things like that. I mean, it's a much more complex story, but that's why he calls it a lab instead of a cafe, because it isn't. And his drinks are inspired by experiences, just as some of the better restaurants around the country with their tasting menus will try to give you a sense of an experience as opposed to saying this is a roast chicken and this is what a roast chicken should taste like. And so he's combining all sorts of fruit essences and carbonated waters and any number of things. The drink that I loved more than anything was one that he called Night Swimming, which was inspired by him swimming at night off of the shores in Door County at one of our state parks. And it had a seaweed in it. It had an essence of the cold, fresh air. It had all sorts of those things. And it really accomplished what he was setting out to. He would be, and I say this lovingly, on the far, 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 far edge of coffee culture here in Wisconsin, and I would even say in the country. But that's exactly where he wants to be, pushing those boundaries relative to flavor. He doesn't roast any of his own coffee. And he sources from different great roasters based on his palate, which is really exceptional. And Ryan's a real treasure for the state.
What is he doing with soda water?
Well, I haven't been there this summer, so I can't answer that directly.
Oh, okay.
But I
thought he was like making, cleansing your palate with soda water or something when you drink espresso?
He uses it in that aspect, but that's a pretty typical experience in a better cafe. A number of colectivos and others have what you would call just a public tap, where you can pour yourself a small little glass of either soda water or still water. And that's a very European thing to do, where adding carbonation to water or getting it from a naturally carbonated source to clear your palate after an espresso is that's been going on for as long as they've had good plumbing in Europe. Let's put it that way.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Felix in Oshkosh. Hi, Felix. Hey, are you there, Felix? Oh, and I don't think we hear Felix. How about Tom in Burlington, as we travel to Burlington for a cup of coffee? Tom, are you there?
It's worth the trip. It's worth the trip. We have the Pine Street Cafe, and it's dedicated to coffee and little delicious things to eat. And you can sit there. They have enough windows where you can see people on the street walking by, and you can see the White River passes by, and then there's a railroad train you can look at when the train is coming by, and it's just a delightful place. And they on Thursday nights they have it's an open mic night. And so you can go there and listen to some wonderful music. I write music, so I write my music in the park. Then I go there and see how it sounds at the Pine Street Cafe.
Well, it sounds like quite the community that's there. And then, you know, you also have great views, Kyle. What about the setting of a coffee shop?
I think it's everything. I've got my favorites, and they tend to emulate, I guess, modern meets European. The flow is key, the way that people interact. I mean, coffee has been bringing people together essentially since the Ottoman Empire. And then there's a great story about he was a turncoat, actually. But while Vienna was surrounded by the Ottoman Empire, he gave them some secrets so they could overtake the city. But it was in exchange for distribution rights for all of Europe for coffee.
Oh, wow.
Because coffee hadn't been discovered in Europe. Very savvy businessman, but you can't go to Vienna. Well, if you go to Vienna now and you don't have a cup of coffee with a great chocolate cake, a torta, then you actually haven't been to Vienna. So the experience of a cafe and, you know, the great cafes of the 18th century from Paris to Prague is really what fueled many of the terrific ideas forward in Western culture.
We're on a tour of Wisconsin's coffee scene with food writer Kyle Cherik. Do you appreciate a particular roaster in Wisconsin? What does specialty coffee, what do you like? 800-642-1234. There's more Wisconsin Weekend ahead here on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend, and we're rounding up some of the finest coffee roasters around our state and checking in on coffee culture. But first, it's our fall member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Baltina. Good morning.
Hi, Kate.
As a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join in, and that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs, and when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make the morning show, you make everything else you hear on WPR possible.
We have half an hour left in this conversation, and we're looking for 12 people to join in. Your gift right now is so important. When you give, you support these programs that you rely on every day.
And thank you so much, by the way, if you have already given. We truly mean that. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So this hour, we're talking about coffee. We choose topics for the morning show every single day. And is there a better one? I don't know.
No.
I can't find one.
Coffee and morning go hand in hand.
Right. And so this is one of those opportunities where you think you might know about coffee, but then we get to talking about it and we take you around the state to different places. And then we talk about the theories behind it and the atmosphere of the shops. And it's so much more substantial. There's
and
so much
suddenly
depth.
We're in Vienna.
Right.
Like,
that's
yeah,
true.
Who knew?
Not just Wisconsin, but around the world. These are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
You should make the gift that works for you. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
And maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. So put a value on it, like the other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Meg Marshall, and I'm from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin.
I think today, especially with this crazy world we live in, it's more important than ever that people know what's going on in the world. This is not just about the United States, it's about the entire world. And the only place you find coverage of international issues to the depth that you find them on Wisconsin Public Radio is right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Meg from Weyerhaeuser, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Baltina, and it is your support today, right now, of Wisconsin Public Radio that helps keep all the programs you enjoy going strong. And so whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it is $100 a month, we absolutely appreciate and we count on your gift.
At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. That's a contribution of any amount because it makes a difference. But we could have some suggestions. The same amount you pay per month for Netflix or cable.
Or coffee, which we're talking about right now. Right. Like WPR, it's probably something you look forward to every day. So give now. You pick the amount. You make a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
20 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 12 more people to join in. You don't have to be all 12. You just have to be one. You make WPR possible when you give. So do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, the added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you get in on that drawing for the Hamilton tickets. Hamilton in Chicago. Give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, we've got your back. You're automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up those monthly donations. You can do it from your bank account or your credit card. Be like Samantha from Danbury, who says, Hamilton ticket opportunity made me donate.
There you go.
Thank you, Samantha. Join Samantha. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs that you love, and you'll get automatically entered into drawings that we have during member drives. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
It is Wisconsin Weekend, and we're into coffee. We're giving a shout out to roasters and the coffee culture that's alive and well here in Wisconsin. And if you happen to love coffee, you're in the right place. Do you have a roaster in your town who is elevating a cup of coffee? Are you into the small batch approach to roasting? What coffee house vibe is right on the mark? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Kyle Cherick is our guide on coffee, and he stays with us. So, Kyle, you were talking earlier, for a long time, Americans mostly drank Folgers and Maxwell House. Those brands
right.
Still very alive and well. But how has our palate really shifted? What was the change that happened?
Well, I think, Pete's lit the fire in California. Pete's being the classic Californian, opened up just across the street from Alice Waters Chez Panisse in Berkeley, California. And he was really the first that lit the fire on the West Coast. And then on the East Coast, we had a very sort of Italian-style, richer espresso flavoring to coffee. And those two percolated, if you'll use the phrase, across the country. And people's palates slowly evolved from the large mass-produced Folgers that you were talking about, Hills Brothers, that sort of thing, in the past. And really it was... not unlike your corner grocery or your corner tavern, where like one of your callers called in before and was talking about the coffee shop in his community. They might not be roasting their own coffee, but they're sourcing it from really terrific roasters, and they wanted a distinctive flavor stamp. They wanted something, another reason why people would come there to get that flavor, that taste, that experience of coffee. And around that, communities are built, and then you have a flavor that you like and a habit. And I think anybody that lives in a bigger city like Madison or Milwaukee or even somewhere like Stevens Point or one of the other university towns, you know, you have a myriad of different coffee shops. And depending on the flavor and the experience that you want, you go to that one that day. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just going every day in a perfunctory manner. So that's really how coffee expanded, was through variety and people's palates having that experience.
Well, let's bring in Drew now, who is joining us from Lake Mills. Hi, Drew.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Great show, by the way. Very much enjoying it.
Great. So what's on your mind about coffee?
Well, we in our little town here of Lake Mills, your guest was talking about big cities like Milwaukee and Madison. Well, we live in a small city here right off the interstate, and we have a coffee roaster here in town, Pyramid City Coffee Roasters. We also had a local grocery store that carried that brand, and we also had our own little bakery and coffee shop. Well, this summer and this fall, we lost both our Century Grocery store that carried that coffee, and we lost our bakery and coffee shop. So a young enterprising woman opened up a mobile coffee shop called Coffee Van Gogh. And her mobile food truck has espresso coffee, and it's solar powered.
Oh, wow. So that is very cool. And I love the name as well. That's great.
Coffee Van Gogh is her name. And she sets up, and we have we do have another grocery store that opened here in town, and they let her set up in their parking lot so people can go and get their morning, afternoon, coffee. So it's really an interesting situation she set up.
Well, Drew, thanks for bringing that to us. Kyle, how difficult is it to stay in the black for these coffee houses to stay in business?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the business model changes for each coffee shop, but it's, you know, the margin that you can make on coffee is really quite terrific, because you're in essence just roasting beans and then brewing them. So you've got water and beans and electricity and the equipment that goes with it. But you have to sell a fair amount of coffee to reap that margin, right? And it has gotten more competitive in a town like Lake Mills, where you have a great local interest, where you've got some loyalty, where you've got people that will be coming every day. I would think it would be easier than in some of the other cities that I've talked about, where it's just that much more competitive. Madison lost a fantastic coffee shop in 2017 called Fifth Element, that used to source directly from a South American country. This unique, you know, one person buying roasting, shipping it to Madison, when a wine bar and coffee bar with a bigger name opened up across the street. And that was one of the, in my opinion, situations where the better coffee didn't prevail, but a more known entity did prevail. So it's gotten quite competitive, I would say, in the last 6 to 8 years. But there's still ways to distinguish yourself and build up a clientele of loyalty. And coffee is one of those things, like other things that people drink, where they have a really strong, I mean, it goes deep to, like, you know, baseball teams or anything else, where people will just, like, nope, that's my team, that's my coffee, that's where I go. I don't mess with that. You can keep talking, but my fingers are in my ears, you know. This is the coffee I love.
Well, take us to the Kickapoo Valley, the Driftless region, where we find Kickapoo Coffee in Viroqua. What makes this roaster stand out?
Well, first of all, they're just the energy of Caleb and TJ is really terrific. They roast in a kind of a food incubator lab that's on the relative outskirts of Viroqua, Wisconsin. Big warehouse building that once built cash registers, National Cash Register Company, and other folks like other food incubators are in there. And they started around 2005, and it's their coffee is very responsibly sourced. So when we look at the national coffee trend, they're on the earlier edge of it. When we think about some of the big names getting into the world in, you know, the early 2000s, Kickapoo is right there. But because they're from a small town and they didn't have this massive marketing budget, they did it themselves. I think it's one of my top four favorite coffees in the state. It's just the subtlety to the roaster, just as I was saying with a wine vintner, just the way that they build the flavors and the way that they nurse them out of these beans and the nuances that they're able to consistently pull forward. And they really step back and say, okay, what was happening with the rainfall? What was happening with the weather? What's going on with the soil from these particular coffees? And how do we support those instead of just say, here's our flavor stamp, and we're going to make that happen out of the roast.
We're talking with Kyle Cherik. He's a culinary historian, and he's here to talk coffee roasting with us this morning and the coffee culture around Wisconsin. Do you roast your own beans? What does it take to bring out the flavor of the coffee? And does it come out? Does it come down to the beans you get? What is your favorite type of coffee? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Kyle, some people in the business, they travel internationally to meet the people who grow their crop. How is that kind of commitment ultimately brought through in the coffee that we drink?
I would say it's everything. Those that travel are those that have a close, and you don't have to get on the plane, but if you can't get on the plane, if you have a firsthand emissary, essentially, that goes and has a palate similar to yours or some experience, because as I did when we went in 2010 to Guatemala, we saw the bush, that's what coffee is, really a bush, it's not a tree, to cup, and there were green beans that were had been washed and separated and that sort of thing and dried that were roasted in this little tiny coffee roaster in the purveyor's office. It looked like a small engine of sorts, this tiny little thing. And then just the raw coffee grounds, hot water poured in. We did something called cupping, where we got the very first flavors that coffee would pull forward. And it's really fascinating to do because you do it on one of those big spinning wheel tables, almost like when you go to Old Guard Chinese restaurants and they have the massive Lazy Susan. And you might cup 30 or 40 different styles of coffee. But you really get the flavor profile and you have a sense of, I mean, you can taste everything in the environment there and what the coffee can do once it's properly roasted. And so having that experience is second to none. And the more steps you get away from that experience, the less control of the flavors that you have for your customers and of the coffee. There are, and I want to caution your listeners out there, there are a lot of cafes that are wonderful cafes, but will call themselves such and such coffee roasters, which is really a misnomer because they're not roasting coffee at all. They're getting it in large bags and then they're brewing it. And I'm not trying to belittle them, but it's to call themselves a roaster is really disingenuous because someone who roasts literally at that location or at one of their several others is taking the raw beans and turning them from a green state into something that can be brewed. And there's a lot of nuance and control there. And those people should be honored as opposed to having the name that misstates what their craft is all about.
And it sounds like roasters can bring out chocolate and sherry notes, but what makes for a really great roast these days? What should we be tasting for?
Well, it's totally subjective. there are roasted coffee or coffee roasters that are winning national competitions and awards for coffees that have strong floral notes or vegetable notes or mineral notes or things like that. And again, the comparable, just like wine, I don't actually care for a vegetable coffee. It's the last thing that I want to drink. I like something that's a little bit more fruit forward, but I like a very dry roast. And, the end game is chocolate and cherry. Anybody can pretty much burn the beans is what you're doing. And those are the last flavor notes that come out. So, blackened chicken, anybody can do that. Just leave it in too long, right? So when people talk about we've got great chocolate and cherry, I know, all right, maybe those are flavors that are in the beans, but that's really, that's the end of the line. And then from there you go to carbon dating. which is not a great flavor for any. Although maybe some old timers, because to my mind, the McDonald's coffee that I first started drinking in college tastes like that.
Keep that palate open.
Yeah, exactly. But it is the short answer is it's very subjective, and you really just need to travel around the state and go to places that do roast their own coffee. And many of them will give you a sample, a taste of three or four if they've got it brewed so that you can get, you know, find what you like.
Well, Kyle, thank you so much for joining us.
Delighted. Thanks for the conversation, Kate.
Kyle Cherik is a culinary historian. He's former host of the Emmy Award-winning television show Wisconsin Foodie on PBS. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is Wisconsin Weekend on the Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is the fall member drive, and we don't need any caffeine here to feel the momentum. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Baltina. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on, like The Morning Show, and that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so crucial.
Nine more pledges to go in the next 6 minutes to stay on track. I love looking at our leaderboard here as the numbers tick down as we try to get to making our goal each hour. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In this show, we've talked coffee, shops and flavors and varieties and your favorites and even touching on this idea of the business of coffee, of the phrase used was keeping coffee shops in the black. So a little public radio pun there for you, too. You know, it's these kinds of conversations that are interesting and fun and also informative that are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many programs that you join in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And today is the last day of the member drive for The Morning Show for you to support this program. And we have a special deal. It's the On The Go bundle. It's both a WPR tote and a WPR travel mug. You can enjoy those two quality products that are stylish and useful. Trust me. Show off your WPR pride with that On The Go set. Ask for the tote mug bundle when you support the WPR programs that you love. It needs a gift of $25 or more a month, and you can do that. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I think it's an investment in your own brain. I mean, I'm a retired person now, and as you get older, you do realize you need to keep your brain flexible. And even when I was younger, it's good to keep your brain flexible. And investing in public radio, in Wisconsin public radio, really helps me to keep my brain up to date and gives me different ideas and different viewpoints. Wisconsin public radio is my source for a better life.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Keely Baltina, and it is listener support that is the biggest chunk of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. And that is why your support during this fall member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Just a few minutes left this hour, and we're looking for nine more people to join in. One of those already is Kara from Barneveld, who says, "My dad was the cheapest man I ever met, but when it came to supporting good causes, he didn't bat an eye at making a donation. With his passing this August, I think it's time I took up the torch and kept his legacy going." Kara, what a beautiful tribute to your dad. Thank you so much, Kara, and everyone else who's already given.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
You're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. And whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, you can become part of our community, not just of listeners, but of members, those people who support the programs that they value.
And if you've never given before, start with a gift of $120, or better yet, make that an ongoing gift of $10 a month. Your contribution of any amount makes you a member. And because the largest slice of our funding comes from members, the biggest piece of the pie, you really make a difference. It all starts with your gift right now on a Friday morning at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 9 more people support WPR programs in the next just couple of minutes, we'll meet our goal. WPR is listener powered, and that's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. And thank you so much for your support.